We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Fool's Day joke that has taken in half of the world. Those who are outside of our beliefs may feel the same. The image of Christ on the cross is so foreign to our culture that it just doesn't make sense. And the empty tomb seems bizarre. That people would believe that seems bizarre. It all just seems like weird religion. I was watching a comedy recently about a boy who has an imaginary friend. And one time he is talking to a priest in his church, and the local priest says to him, who are you talking to? Because he's obviously having this conversation with his imaginary friend. And he says, oh, that's just my imaginary friend. And the priest says, the church is no place for the imaginary friends. And it's obvious that the joke is on the priest who has his own imaginary friend. It seems ludicrous that we would spend our lives focused on an event that we cannot, if we're honest, 100% prove. In fact, for many people, this whole thing of the resurrection is the thing that stops them from believing. A lot of people love the teaching of Jesus. They think it's revolutionary. His morals are great, and the way he cared for people is life-changing. He forgave, and he showed that we could too. He reaches out, and he touches the untouchable. Many can even tolerate a few minor miracles. We've all got to live with a little bit of mystery in our lives. And maybe there is something to the power of positive thinking. His death was a great example of love, self-sacrifice, and suffering with dignity. In fact, many of our movies have picked up the same theme of the hero giving themselves for other people. But ultimately, many would think it was a senseless and tragic death. A lot of people can handle that. But to believe, really, that a man raised from the dead, well, that's something else entirely. I remember when The Passion of the Christ came out, a lot of commentators were saying they thought the movie was really uneven. Why are they so focusing so much on Jesus' death and resurrection when they could focus on the other parts of Jesus' life? That would have given the average unbeliever more to enjoy in the movie. This whole focus on the death and resurrection is why your average Western rational person can't in good conscience be a Christian. So let me ask you a provocative question this morning. Because it's quite unpalatable and hard to believe, why do we hold on to it? Why don't we just drop this talk of resurrection and focus on Jesus the good man? Jesus with the good morals and the good works. We might actually win a few more people and look a little bit less like an April Fool. Maybe look a bit more normal. And that's what some Christians have done, either by denying the resurrection outright or just by living their lives as though it never happened. So that's the question this morning. Why do we believe in the resurrection? Is it really that important? Well, this morning, I want us to turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as a way of looking at that question. And this morning, I'm hoping I haven't just made you all doubters and you're all like, oh, I'm not coming back next Sunday. He's right. Why do we believe in this? I'm hoping that we can raise our faith. I'm hoping we can be honest about some objections and we can raise the level of our faith and confidence in the resurrection this morning. And the first thing that we're going to see is that we actually have good reason to believe in the resurrection. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news, the gospel I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place." So Paul says we are saved by the good news, but only if it's something that's true and that we really believe. If this message of Easter is true, then it has an amazing power, he says. But if it's not true, then it has no power at all. So Paul goes on to explain why he believes in the resurrection. Verse 3, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers. At one time, most of whom are still alive, but some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. See, Paul doesn't put his stock in blind faith, blind belief, or emotional longing for there to be something deeper in the world. Instead, he points to the fulfillment of prophecy, to the historical witness of people who were living when this was written, and his own experiences that all unite to give him solid grounds to believe. He doesn't rely on emotion. He relies on his reason to believe in the resurrection. Now, for us today, it's more difficult. We can't go and talk to these people. They're all dead. We have their record, but is that enough? You know, there's an excellent movie that's going around at the moment that some of our women watch, which is called The Reason for God. The Case for Christ? That's right, you got it. The Case for Christ, sorry. In it, an atheist journalist by the name of Lee Strobel investigates the evidence for Christian faith and through it becomes a Christian himself. Warren Smith sent me a clip the other day where Lee Strobel talks about why he believes in the resurrection. Let's watch it.
Legal editor of the Chicago Tribune, I would have smirked at the fact that Easter this year falls on April Fool's Day. Because back then, I thought that anyone would have to be a fool to think that Jesus literally rose from the dead. One day, my wife gave me the news that she'd become a Christian. And so I decided to take my journalism training and legal training and debunk the resurrection of Jesus. So I spent 2 years of my life analyzing the historical data. And what I found really shocked me. I recounted in my book, The Case for Miracles. First of all, I found that there's no dispute among scholars that Jesus was dead after being crucified. The famous atheist New Testament scholar Gerd Ludemann says it's historically indisputable that he was dead. The Journal of the American Medical Association says that based on the historical and medical evidence, that Jesus was clearly dead even before the wound to his side was inflicted. Second, we have early reports of the resurrection of Jesus. Reports that come so quickly, you can't just write them off as being a legend. In fact, we have one report of the resurrection, including named eyewitnesses, that has been dated back by scholars to within months of the death of Jesus. Friends, that is historical gold. Third, we have the empty tomb, and I found that even the opponents of Jesus implicitly conceded that the tomb of Jesus was empty. And then fourth, we have 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming and corroborating the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus. Friends, that is an avalanche of historical data. And then we have 7 ancient sources inside and mostly outside the New Testament that confirm that the disciples lived lives of deprivation and suffering as a result of their proclamation that Jesus had risen. Why were they willing to do that? Because they heard a rumor that he'd risen? No, because they were there. They touched him. They ate with him. They talked with him. They knew the truth. And knowing the truth, they were willing to proclaim it, even despite the suffering they endured. Friends, I spent 2 years investigating this evidence. And it came down to one day when I reviewed it all and I thought, you know what? Based on the historical data, my verdict is that Jesus not only claimed to be the Son of God, he backed up that claim by returning from the dead. And that's the moment that I decided to confess my sin, to turn from that, to receive this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus purchased for me on the cross. And at that moment, I became a child of God. Some people have a rush of emotion at that moment. I didn't. You know what I had? I had the rush of reason, because the resurrection of Jesus is not some April Fool's Day joke. It is a historical reality based not on mythology or make-believe or wishful thinking, but a solid foundation of historical truth.
when you look at all the evidence, when you see the arguments for the resurrection, they are compelling. We have good reason to believe. See, Lee Strobel knows it's right to be skeptical when someone says they have risen from the dead. If a stranger walked in and said they had risen from the dead, or someone walked in and said they were someone famous who had died, they said, "I'm Michael Jackson," you would be without in your rights to actually doubt them. But if you talk to the people who knew them and you saw them die and you could see by the response of those people that it was true, then you would have every right to believe it. The historical witness is that those who saw him raised from the dead were captured and threatened with death and yet would not deny it as true. Believing in the resurrection is not a matter of blind faith. It is a matter of faith in something reasonable. We believe the resurrection because it's reasonable. But it's more than just having a reasonable answer to strengthen our faith. We believe in the resurrection because it is the thing that matters the most. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read verses 14, then 17, then 19. He says, "If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." He says, if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, then you're the fool. Paul says that if we have a Christianity that denies in word or deed the resurrection of Jesus, then our faith is useless. The resurrection is essential to a true Christian understanding of the world. See, let me ask you, what is the thing that continues to fuel your Christian life? We have some really good things that help us to believe. Some people put their faith in an experience where they felt something marvelous and supernatural touch their life. Some people put their faith in a healing that happened to them or in someone else they love. Some people put their faith in the way the teaching of Jesus makes life better and happier. Some people put their faith in the reliability of the Bible as a historical document that is cohesive and true. And they're all good things. They're great things. And they're great catalysts to belief. They help us to believe. But if your faith is solely built on any of those things, it will always be a limited faith. Healed people get sick again. Experiences fade from our memory. Jesus' teaching sometimes makes life a lot harder. Our understanding of the Bible can come under severe challenge. But Paul says that we should put our faith in the resurrection. If we don't put our faith in the resurrection, then the rest of it is useless anyway. If our faith is only for this life, then we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Gordon Fee says, "To believe in the Christian faith without believing in the resurrection is not to believe in the Christian faith at all." The resurrection is the central moment of the Christian faith. The resurrection is the block on which Christianity is built. It's a little bit like a Jenga tower, and I don't know if you can see this here. I should have put it on a pedestal where you can see it. I've just now moved that in your way. There's a little Jenga tower here, which some of you may or not be able to see. Sorry about that. And there are many different blocks in a Jenga tower. But I want to tell you this morning that if you were to take out that one block, resurrection, then the rest of the tower comes crumbling down. That's how much the resurrection matters. It matters because if the resurrection happened, as Jesus said that it would, then we can trust Jesus on every other point. If he did not get risen from the dead, if he was not raised from the dead, then he was a fraud without compare. If he was raised from the dead, he is the master, he is Lord, and he is God, and we should follow him with all of our life. If it did happen, it's not only the key moment of Christianity, but the central moment of history. It gives meaning to every other moment. It is the lens through which these moments are weighed. What we know and how we know is through the resurrection. For these disciples, it was the catalyst for all they did. The certainty of the resurrection was the foundation of the message that they shared. It was the good news that saves. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised from the dead, and he has everything that we need. So we have good reason to believe in the resurrection. We understand that it matters most. But here's the thing about the resurrection. It's bigger than a mental exercise. The resurrection also is the only hope that we have. So you don't have to look far to see people struggling with hopelessness, with fear, and with death. Humanity is stuck with a big problem. We've done what we thought was right, and we got the results of our selfishness. The results are a world with no morals, no God, and despair. Max Lucado writes, "What happens when society denies the importance of right and wrong? Read the answer on a prison wall in Poland. It says, I freed Germany from the stupid and degrading fallacies of conscience and morality." Who made that boast? Adolf Hitler. Dostoevsky said it well. If God is dead, then everything is justifiable. And the result is a world that doesn't believe. And the result is despair, a complete lack of hope. Hope that we could change. Hope that there was more to life than this. Hope that the human condition could be redeemed and could be good. Hope that our shame could be undone. Hope that our lives could matter. We have a world in need of hope. To that, the only answer that we have that is powerful enough to make a difference is the resurrection of Jesus. It changed the world. But it did more than just change the world. It changed our hearts. We have hope. Hope for what? Hope for eternity. Last week, we looked at the importance of the cross. And this week, we're looking at the resurrection. And while we are clear that it is all part of one big event, both parts are important individually. Each part assures us of Christ's victory in separate ways. You see, the cross defeats sin. The resurrection defeats death. The death that we would have to face eternally. Jesus' resurrection shows that God has accepted Jesus' death as a ransom for many. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is first of a great harvest of all who have died. See, Paul says, Jesus is like the first lot of grapes you see on your grapevine that tells you that life has broken through and there is much more to come. He is the visible promise of the future reality. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. The resurrection gives us confidence that death would not have the final say on our lives. Because he was raised from the dead, we can be confident that Christ will do the same to our bodies, to our lives. We need not fear death. I was talking to someone recently, and they were discussing the way they were living their lives and the things that they were doing. And I was trying to gently encourage them and challenge them about behaviors that were getting them in trouble. And then they stopped and they just looked at me. And there was a moment of silence and I thought, I wonder what this person's going to say now. They just looked at me in this very measured moment and said, are you scared of death? And then they burst into tears. And I could tell in that moment that they were. They were scared of death. And death has this amazing power over us. But here's the hope, that through the resurrection, it's not the end. We know that its power may have a sway on us for a little bit, but it's not the end. We have hope that's more than just a maybe. But it's an anticipation for that great day when all will be raised. And those who believe in Christ will be raised again into eternal life, into the life He has won for them. We have hope against death. We also have hope for this life, for overcoming the power of sin. The resurrection shows that God's Spirit in us is powerful enough to bring about this new life in us now. We often have this thing that goes through our heads and it says, I can't do it. It's hopeless. I can't make this happen. I can't do it. And in some ways, it's right. We can't. But He can. I want you to imagine for a moment that you have a massive debt, a debt of millions of dollars. It's hanging over your head. You have no way of paying it. You know that this debt is going to be a burden on you for the rest of your life. How does that feel in that moment to have that weight? There's no freedom. You're bound by this debt. But then someone comes and they say, I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to take it on myself. I'm going to make sure that you don't have to carry the burden of this millions of dollars of debt anymore. And that's what Jesus did through the cross. He forgave us the debt of sin that we had and broke sin's power over us. But here's the good news this morning, is that Jesus didn't just stop there. Imagine you've had that debt taken away. But then that same person comes to you and says, well, I'm not going to stop there. I'm now going to give you millions of dollars. I'm not going to just take away the debt. I'm actually going to give you more. You have so much money that you don't know what to do with it. Go and live your life, this person says. Go and live your life. You can have all the resources that I can offer to you. And that's what Jesus did by rising from the dead. He opened up a whole new way of life to us. Those resources are alive in us. The cross canceled the debt. The resurrection gave us riches. That we can live this new life in the power of His Spirit. We can have all the resources that He had that can come alive in us now. Romans 8 verse 11 says it this way. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. He lives in you. The same power that was there 2,000 years ago on that resurrection morning to break the power of death is now alive in us when we give ourselves to Jesus. We have that inside of us. What an amazing promise. What an amazing power. His strength breaks the power of sin. His ability to redeem surpasses the ability of sin to ruin. The cross is the end of the old. The resurrection is the beginning of the new. God's new creation has been won and has begun now in the world. Spring is coming. Winter is over. His reign and rule starts now within us. We can move from victim to victor. As strong as Satan may seem, as powerful as sin's pull may be, as enslaving as our shame may be, as dire as our circumstances may feel, Jesus is stronger. His Spirit is stronger. He is stronger than Satan, stronger than sin, stronger than shame, stronger than any storm or fire or of our suffering and pain, stronger even than death itself. Here's why we believe in the resurrection. Because moral teaching won't change you. Good works can't be sustained. And sacrificial love will always be shrouded by the desire for recognition. Only the power of resurrection can give you hope for tomorrow. For those who are covered in shame because of the things they have done and the words people have spoke over them, They have a new voice that tells them they are okay. They are a child of God, and that is enough. For those working hard for approval, they can step out from that weight, knowing that God has done all they never could. For those doubting the future, they can see that God is in charge of the world, and He is good to His people, and He is faithful. For those facing temptation and repetitive sin, they know that they have the power to overcome sin, to break its power over their life. For those facing physical death, they can face it with confidence, that even it, the most final of situations, is not the end. We believe in the resurrection, yes? We believe that Jesus really physically rose from the dead. We have a good reason to. It is the thing that matters most. And it is the only hope that we have. He is risen indeed. When you believe in the resurrection, your faith is strong. When you do, your life is filled with confidence. There's a confident assurance that you step out in, and that's in the power of Christ. I step out as someone who has been given riches and is now using them to make the world rich. I step out as someone who has been loved and can now step out and love other people. Today is Resurrection Sunday. And we're all sitting here, and I hope you're with me this morning, and saying, we believe that this is true. It's good. I hope your heart soars with hope like mine does. Renewed confidence in Christ and His power in you. But tomorrow is another day. And there'll be opportunities to live like this matters. See, the problem is that some of us still live like the poor man, still live like the person in debt, still live like, oh, I'm a victim. I'm living in my pain. I'm living in my shame. We still live like we've got this millions of dollars debt hanging over our head. We need to renew our thinking. We need to change the way that we see the world. We need to see that we have riches that have been given to us by Christ. It's a completely different way of seeing the world, isn't it? A completely different way of viewing life. And I know life is hard. There are things that come against us, things that are tremendously difficult. There are failures that we face. There are moments where we wonder, is it true? Is that power really alive in me? Because at this moment, I don't sense it. But as we keep walking the journey, as we keep fixing our eyes on Him who died for us and was raised to life for us, we can walk in His grace. We can walk in the power of His Spirit every day. When we live in the power of His resurrection, we are not saying that we are strong and deserving. We're not saying that we have it all figured out. We're not saying that we own the market on truth. We're not saying that we're up and others are down. Rather, we're saying the opposite. We're saying we're sick and we find healing in this man and only in Him. We were lost and we found rescue in His name and no other name. We're not the strong, but He was given from heaven to save the weak.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.